That's what Jesus is to me.
Amen.
He's more than wonderful. Amen. He's miraculous.
Amen.
He's everything my soul searched for. I'm satisfied.
Right.
Amen. I am. I hope you are. You satisfied? Satisfied folks get a lot done for the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm not satisfied. Well, you tap into this source and you will be.
Amen.
That's right. See, man is on a quest.
Right.
I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. Man is on a quest. You come into this world on a quest. When you study the scripture, you find that man in general, when I say man, mankind, is on a quest. And man will search and search and search. But until you find what Andrew found, he said, we found the Messiah, Peter.
Amen.
We found it. That's what he's saying. Finally, we found it. And boy, I tell you, it changed his life.
Right.
I wonder if you've found what you're searching for today. Everybody's searching.
Right.
That's right. And when you find Jesus, you say, well, he's not lost. I know that. He really finds you. But you accept the fact that he found you. That's what brings peace in your heart, you see. You know what peace is, right? Peace is accepting that God accepts you. That's right. You think about that. When you finally accept that God has accepted you in the Beloved, you will have peace to flood your soul like you've never had before. Peace is accepting that God has accepted you. If you're still in unrest, it may be that you're still at enmity with God. But when you come to the place to where you realize that God has accepted you and you accept that, you will have peace like you've never known before. Before I get into the message this morning, and I want to talk to you about the quest, I want to talk to you about a man that, well, very rarely talked about. I think about some of the men, and I wrote some of the men down. When I think of, if I were to think of what would be considered prominent Bible characters, give you the male first, Adam in the Old Testament, Moses, Abraham, David, Elijah, Isaiah, I know there's more. But there's probably been more books written on these characters, more preaching about these characters, and well, they should be. You know, I mean, you could go back even to Adam. Adam and Moses, and as I mentioned, David, a man after God's own heart. And then you move down to the ladies. You look at some of like Eve, the mother of all living. A lot spoken about Eve. And then there's Jochebed, how she raised up especially Moses, but those three children to serve God, Aaron and Miriam. And then you look at some of the others, Sarah, and you look at some of the ladies of the Old Testament, Ruth and Esther, books that were named in their behalf. You move over to the New Testament, you have men like Paul and Peter and John the Baptist and John and James, the sons of thunder, John the Beloved, of course. And then there's just men like that. You find ladies like Mary and Elizabeth and Eunice and Lois and Priscilla. These are what would be considered prominent characters in our mind. Okay, so if I were to say, you know what, I want you to be like a Paul, you'd probably get discouraged before I got to preaching, you know. But there's not many Pauls among us. I mean, you know, sometimes we just have to accept what we are. That's what I like about Andrew. Andrew accepted what God made him. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be the very best you can be, so don't you take the message this morning and say, well, the preacher said I could just sit back and rest on my laurels. This preacher will never tell you that. You be everything that God intends for you to be. Amen. But I am saying that God hasn't made us all Pauls and Peters and Moses, right? He hasn't. As a matter of fact, I would say there's probably more Andrews in the crowd this morning than there are anyone else. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, Andrew was a man who, let's just start with his name, Andrew. The name Andrew means manly, courageous. So don't think now, if I'm going to be anything for God, I got to be like Peter. I must be like Peter. No, not necessarily. You can still be courageous and bold, and you can take your stand and not be in the forefront. Andrew was not in the forefront. As a matter of fact, when I studied this man's life, he was always in the shadows. He was what some people might consider as just an ordinary apostle, if there's ever such a thing, right? Just an ordinary guy, you know, kind of like you, or an ordinary gal like you. And if we're not careful, and I want you to listen to me now, the devil will hijack the church and have some folks believe, well, you know, because I'm not a celebrity, or I'm not some athlete, or I'm not some great singer, or some musician, or a preacher, then I can't do anything for God. I don't know who told you that, but that's a lie. As a matter of fact, just average people like what would be considered average people like Andrew is who gets the job done. That's right. And so please don't go through life saying, well, I'll never attain to this one or that one. And it's okay to give credit where credit's due. It's okay to have spiritual heroes. I'm not saying that at all. It's certainly okay to have aspiration and to become and allow people to motivate and inspire you. But what I am saying is don't think now, because you're not standing behind a pulpit or sitting behind a piano or singing or making announcements or whatever, don't think, well, you know, I don't count. There's no one in God's family that doesn't count. Can I tell you, everyone counts. I don't understand this mentality. You know, well, you know, there's big jobs and little jobs. There's big U's and little U's, or big I's and little U's. We're all saved in the grace of God, and we just want God to use us in the capacity that He could use us. That's where I'm at. Where are you? And so please don't think, I've taken my role, and I mean this. Say, well, you know, preacher, some of you are going to think, well, that you don't really mean that. Well, God's my witness. I'll never be a big-time preacher. I'm not. That's not my goal. You understand that? I sure hope you do. You say, we want our preacher to be a big-time preacher. Well, I'm not a big-time preacher. I can't preach like Kenny Baldwin. My goodness. I can't preach like Dwayne Moore. Are you serious? But God's called me to be me. I'm okay with me. Are you okay with you? Again, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to try to be the very best me I can be. That doesn't mean that I feel like that I have second fiddle, so to speak, or that I'm flying to in coach. No. I'm glad God made me the way He made me. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. And I don't think that you have to be some big shot this or that for God to use you. And that's what I want to try and encourage you about this morning, okay? So please, I want you to hear the message. Here's a man, as far as I can tell now, and listen, I don't know all there is to know about the Bible. I told you I'm not a big shot preacher. I do study my Bible, however. And as far as I can tell, here's the first disciple that Jesus called. Andrew. Andrew, we'll see this in just a moment. It's almost humorous. Andrew went and he got Peter. So you got Andrew and Peter. And then later on, as we'll see in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called Andrew and Peter to be disciples, He also called John and James, another set of brothers, and they all were fishermen. Guess how many of those four were included in the inner circle? And guess who was left out? Right. But you think that really bothered Andrew? You think Andrew was upset on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and 3,000 souls got saved by the grace of God? I believe Andrew was over there saying, that's my brother up there preaching, amen. That's my brother. You say, yeah, but Peter became the spiritual father to all those that were saved. And Andrew became the spiritual grandfather. Grandfather's a pretty good place, I'm learning to be. And so, you know, sometimes we get things twisted, we get things mixed up. I mean, we just do. And we think that, well, you know, we've all got to be like a Peter. We've got to be the spokesman, or we have to be like a Paul. We have to be pioneering. But that's just not the case. Now listen, thank God for Paul's and Peter. So don't misunderstand me. I'm in no way throwing shade toward them. I'm just saying that it's okay to be Andrew. And I just feel like that's where many, many Christians will settle in at, and that's what God's called us to do. Yeah, listen, when I was growing up, there used to be this saying, this place has too many chiefs and not enough Indians. How many of you remember that? I know you can't say that in this woke society today, but I still believe in chiefs and Indians, amen, cowboys too. But you know what? Yeah, amen, we got a chief back there. Amen, Chief Pete. and an Indian. I don't know which he is. He's a little bit of both. And basically what that was saying is, you know, everybody wants to be the say-so. Everybody wants to lead. Everybody wants to be out front. But not everybody can be the lead. Not everybody can be out front. You got to have followers, right? You got to have folks doing the work. You got to have folks leading and guiding and showing the work. And then you got to have folks following and doing the work. And that's what Andrew shows me. And so I want to look at some characteristics of this man that I think would be very helpful to all of us. What do you know about Andrew? I guarantee you, in case you've just recently done a character study on Andrew, you probably don't know near as much about Andrew as you know about Peter or John or James, right? And yet, he was called at the exact same time they were. They were called at the same time. I'll show you that in Scripture here in just a moment. I want you to notice some things about Andrew that I find just very intriguing. I was just looking down at my Bible when they were singing that song. By the way, I'll never forget one time I went to a black congregation church. One of my very best friends was a black fella. He and I worked together at the same company, and his father passed away, and he invited me to attend the funeral. And man, I tell you right now, that was a great experience. You say, what do you mean, a funeral? Those black folks know how to worship, man. I'm telling you right now. And I looked up, and everybody's sitting up on the platform. Well, first of all, he tried to tell me, he said, you need to go up there and sit on the platform. I said, man, I don't even think I hardly knew your dad. He said, no, you're a preacher. He said, all the preachers sit up on the platform at the black folks' church. I said, Mike, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I thought he was trying to embarrass me. They do a little different when we do it. I like some of the things they do. So there's this fella up there singing his heart out, and all of the preachers up there all of a sudden stood up and stepped beside their chair and just stood there and was looking at that fella singing, shaking their head like, you know, yeah, yeah. And I looked down and I said, what's going on, Mike? He said, man, he said, here, church, black folks' church, he said, when God's in the house, we stand in honor of him. Amen. They were saying, God's in the house. Amen. The presence of God is real. And they stood. I felt like standing up on that last song. Both of them, actually, just touched my heart. Sometimes you just sense the presence of God so real. You either feel like standing up or bowing down. You just want to recognize that God's in the house. So I'm looking down at my Bible, and I see something that I underlined many years ago, and I just want to bring it to your attention. What a difference a day will make. Look down, if you would, in verse number 29 of chapter number 1. The next day, the next day, John the Baptist was preaching. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see that in verse number 29? Then if you would, look at verse number 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples. So one day John stood up and he said, there's the Lamb of God right there. He's taking away the sin of the world. The next day, John preached the same message. But this time something happened. Amen. It sure did. What a difference a day makes. On this day, Andrew got drawn. He heard the message, and the Bible says that those two disciples, one of them that followed, they followed Jesus, and one of them was named Andrew. All right? And so the first day, in verse number 29, the next day, or the day following, in verse 35, and then look at this in verse 43, and the day following. Time just goes on, one day after the next. But can I tell you this? When I look at that, that's what I think about. There's a day in verse 29, the next day, and then again the next day in verse 35, and then the following day in verse 43. What's that mean? You never know what a day is going to bring forth. You just never know. Here was Andrew going through something. Here's what I want you to write down. Let me give you some things about Andrew. Number one, think about this. I want you to write this word down, possession. Now, Andrew was seeking something. And I know that because Andrew either wasn't there in verse 29 when he said, when John the Baptist, the very fact, and I'm not going to spend much time here, but the very fact that this man was out here in John the Baptist, I'd say he was seeking something. John the Baptist was not your typical preacher, all right? John the Baptist would lay the axe to the root, all right? I mean, this guy wore leather loincloth and ate wild locusts and honey. And he didn't play around. He'd look the king in the face and say, it is wrong for you to have your brother's sister. Amen. You're in adultery. So John wasn't no, yeah, he wasn't one of these new age kind of guys. And so Andrew found his way out to hear John, and he became a disciple. That's what the scripture says. Look at it with me now, verse number 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Something happened that day. John had preached that message before. I don't know that something might not happen in somebody's life today. There are some folks, you've heard that Jesus is the Lamb of God. You just hadn't responded to it. There are some folks that heard that Jesus can take away the sin of the world. You just haven't responded to it. You just haven't experienced it. Can I tell you a glad day in your life when you allow Jesus to wash your sin away? It'll be a glad day in your life when you quit following the preacher and start following the Savior. That's what Andrew did. There's nothing wrong with going to hear the preacher preach, all right? Andrew heard John the Baptist preach, but he done more than that. He followed Jesus after he heard the message of John. Amen. Thank God for people that respond to preaching. Good things happen when you respond to Bible preaching. And old John the Baptist stood and he preached and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the Bible says here in verse number 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And then it says, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them," in verse 38, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Now verse number 40 says this, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew." Here's our man. And when Jesus looked and he saw Andrew, looking back at verse number 38, he asked a question to Andrew and that other disciple. He said, "What seek ye?" Andrew, what are you seeking? That's a good question. What are you seeking? Everybody's seeking. Everyone's seeking now. But what are you seeking? Some people seeking fame. Some people seeking fortune. Some people seeking popularity. Some people seeking peace. People are just seeking. And so when Jesus turned and he asked this question again in verse number 38, he said, "What seek ye?" What are you seeking? What are you seeking? This morning, what are you seeking, really? A feeling? A lot of people go to church seeking a feeling. I like feelings. I think we all do good ones. Amen. I don't want those bad ones. I like feelings. There's nothing wrong with feelings. But if your life is controlled by feelings, you're going to live on a roller coaster. Emotion is a great traveler, but a terrible driver. Emotions do well in the passenger seat, but they do not do well in the driver's seat. And so when Jesus turned to Andrew this day, he said, "What seek ye?" What a great question. What a probing question. What are you seeking? And it doesn't matter. Listen, there's little children in the congregation today. It doesn't matter whether you're a little child. It doesn't matter whether you're a middle-aged adult or an aged adult. The question still remains the same. What are you seeking? I like what Andrew did. He took this question very seriously. He said, "How do you know that, preacher?" Why don't you notice what Andrew said? When Andrew, in verse number 29, he answered and he said, "Where dwellest thou?" Where do you live? Why do you think Andrew asked that question? You think it was important to know where Jesus lived? What are you seeking? Where do you live? It doesn't sound like it goes together. But there's a reason. And the Bible tells us why. That Andrew asked that question. Andrew said, "You've asked me a question. It's going to take some time." Can I tell you, this thing of being saved and knowing Jesus takes some time. I'm afraid that there's some folks that just don't get it. I'm afraid we've raised a generation of people that think that, you know, "Well, you know, I believe and I'm going to heaven." Now, wait a minute. Now, hold it. I want you to think through what you're seeking. I want you to think through a relationship with the God of heaven. I want you to think through what it means to be a child of God. I want you to think through what it means to be a sinner, to be on a quest, to truly have your sin forgiven, to truly know what it is to follow Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This is a big step. And we have gotten so cavalier, we have gotten so flippant in handling this that I'm afraid that we've given a lot of folks a false hope. I don't want to be guilty of that.
Amen.
Now, I want to make it very clear this morning that I am so glad that salvation in Jesus Christ is readily available to all who believe. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But I also want to make it very clear that you don't walk down to the front of a church chomping your gum and with a flippant attitude say, well, I guess I'll just do what everybody's doing this day. I guess I'll just follow Jesus. Oh, no, you don't now. Oh, no. And so when Jesus turned and he asked them, and again, I point you to verse 38. And we're talking about possession. Andrew was empty. He was seeking something. That's why he went and heard the preacher. See, a lot of folks that are here today, you're seeking something. That's why you're here. I'm seeking something more. I'm not just seeking. I found my initial seeking, my quest, but I'm seeking something more. And I don't think the seeking ends. And I think that's why Andrew said, where do you live? I want to talk to you about this. I don't make just a 1, 2, 3, believe in me, and then I'm done. This is important to me. There's a lot at stake here. He said, where dwellest thou? You see it there in verse number 38? Where dwellest thou? And I like what Jesus said in verse number 39. Jesus saith unto them, Andrew, the other disciple, come and see. Well, I like that word come. Can I tell you that's God's word? That's God's word, that word come. Come, seek, pursue, the Bible says. There's a lot of folks just think that, well, you know what? I'm just going to sit here, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, God says, seek me. Seek me early. Pursue me. Come unto me. Amen. And so when Andrew said, where do you live? He said, well, come. What a great word. I'm so glad when I heard that call in my heart, come. Come. Have you ever heard God calling you? Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Right? Come. He that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Come. It's a good word. And Jesus said, come. Come. Come and see. Look at verse 39. They came and saw. Amen. Amen. They came and saw. I did too, Brother Brian. I came and saw. Jesus called me and I answered. I came and saw. And here I stand, saved in the grace of God. Not because of anything I've done, but because of who I trusted as my personal Savior. I came. I want you to notice this, if you would. It says, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. You know, the Bible, every word of God is pure. What's happening here? Why is the Spirit of God being deliberate in this? He even wanted us to know what time it was. He wanted us to know. They spent some time with Jesus. Look at that word, abode. Not only was Andrew seeking, but he got satisfied. You see that word abode? There's satisfaction in that word. He just stayed. That's what it means. Hey, man, he just stayed. He liked what he saw. Right? You say, preacher, how long have you been staying? 40 years by the grace of God. I want to make that clear now. By the grace of God. Has it always been smooth sailing for you, preacher? Not even close. I've been down some bumpy roads. I felt like I was at a theme park spiritually in my life sometimes. But can I tell you, Jesus was right there by my side all the way through it. I don't know what you're going through this morning. You may be on a quest. Maybe you're on a quest because there's a longing in your heart. There's something missing in your life. And you've tried to fill that void, that vacuum with everything this world's had to offer. And you are still without any kind of peace, without any kind of comfort in your heart and life. Can I tell you, Jesus calls to you this morning. Come and see. Come unto me. Come to me. And when you get there, stay. Look at what it says one more time. It says in verse number 39, they came and saw where he dwelt and abode. There is some permanency to that word. They remained with him that day. Wouldn't you have liked to have been a part of that conversation? I can tell you this. It made an eternal impact on Andrew's life. So possession. Possession. He was on a quest. He found the Messiah. We'll get to that in just a moment. And God done a work in his life. I hope God's done a work in your life. I know that he has if you've come to him. And you've allowed him to. All right? But now I want you to notice this. Notice if you would in verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Now look at this next phrase. Simon Peter's brother. Here's a word I want you to write down. Andrew's position. We talked about his possession. Okay? His possession is now, he's found something. He's found the prize, right? He found the Messiah. That's what he said. I found what I've been searching for all of my life. Can I tell you, October the 26th, 1980, I found him. I found something that was missing that I had been searching for that I did not, had no idea what it or who it was, but it was Jesus. It was Jesus. And he's been abiding with me ever since, and I'm just so excited that I know Christ is my personal Savior. As I said, it hasn't been all smooth sailing, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad my sins are forgiven. I'm not on that quest anymore. I'm not searching to try to please God anymore or try to satisfy God. Jesus did that for me. Now don't get me wrong. I want to please the Lord. I want to satisfy him in my service. But as far as trying to win my way to heaven, that can't be done. That's taken care of. Jesus paid that price. And Andrew got that settled. I hope you have it settled. But now that you're saved, what? Now what? Well, the Bible says this. Notice if you would. And one of the two, verse 40, one of the two which heard him speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Can I tell you that, Peter, as far as I can tell now, I've counted 12 times that Andrew's mentioned in the Scripture. Half of them he's referred to like this, Simon Peter's brother. Amen. Always in the shadows of Peter. Well, you know what? I would have been too. You would have been too. What a loudmouth Peter was. Any of you got any brothers like that? Amen. I'm halfway joking. Peter did speak when he shouldn't have spoke, but who hasn't, right? Who hasn't? But see, God ordained some Peters, and God ordained some Andrews. All right? Find your place. I can't ever find in the Bible where Andrew was saying, boy, I tell you right now, that Peter makes me sick. If that Peter would shut up long enough, I could get a word in edgewise. I can't ever find that. As a matter of fact, I do find where Andrew was okay with it. Andrew didn't, listen, he never tried to assert himself. Andrew never tried to get out front. Read the Scripture. You'll never find where Andrew's trying to get out front and be the man. He's not. He's okay being behind the man. Right? Andrew was a disciple maker. We're going to see that in just a moment. You say, yeah, but Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. Peter wouldn't have been preaching if Andrew wouldn't have found him. Somebody's got to find Peter. Somebody's got to get to Peter. How would you like to read the Scripture and that miracle where 5,000 men, that's not counting the women and children. No telling how many thousands were there that day. I'm not even going to try to guesstimate. The Bible doesn't say. 5,000 men got fed by a little lad. You know who brought that little lad to Jesus? Our man. Andrew. Yeah. As a matter of fact, there was another, Philip, who was asking, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but he said, I just don't think it can be done. And Andrew said, well, now, I don't know. He said, I, I think it can be done. I just don't know how. Here's a guy. He's got, you know, this little lad here's got, you know, a couple of fishes and some bread. I mean, what can get happen with this? And Jesus said, well, you know, you brought me some resources I can work with here. Says a lot about Andrew. Andrew was okay with being in the background. He was. I hope you're okay with being in the background. It's easy to say you are. Now listen to me. Don't lose me here, because it's going to help you in life somewhere. Eventually, all of us are going to have to be okay with where God has us. You say, I'm okay with that now. I want everybody to look right up here right now. Whatever you do, what if you went to work Monday and your foreman came to you and said, I'm going to get so-and-so to do your job. Or I came to you as pastor and said, you know what, we're going to get so-and-so to do what you've been doing for a little while. You okay with that? If you're not, you're doing it for the wrong reason. See, sometimes people take ownership. And people think, well, you know what, this is my ministry. It's not your ministry, this is God's ministry. This is God's ministry, and God's putting us into positions and places so we can carry it out. Everybody say amen with me now. Listen, as the church continues to grow, you're going to have to understand, no matter what you do, it's not your ministry. It's God's ministry, and God's using you to fill the office. And if we ever lose sight of that, please hear me now, and we begin to take ownership of things, and we think, well, you know what? If that preacher put somebody else in my position, I'm leaving the church. Well, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're doing it for the wrong reason. Let's take a bus driver. Brother David's our bus director, and we've got 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 bus drivers in here. Brother David comes and says, you know what, Brother Russell, we're going to get Brother Faulkner to drive the bus. If you say, now wait a minute, I deserve to know why. If he drives that bus, it'll be the last time I drive it. Well, I don't think Brother Russell will do that. But you know what? There's some folks that would. You listening to me this morning? There's some folks that would. If somebody came to you and said, we're going to get someone to help out in the junior department, we're going to kind of go 2 on and 2 off teaching the juniors, and you say, well, I'll tell you right now, I'll teach every week or I won't teach at all. You're doing it for the wrong reason. Ministry's teamwork. Everybody say amen with me now. But I tell you, we have this, if we're not careful, we'll get this mindset. We'll get this mindset. That's mine. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's kind of like playing sports. I love to play sports. I'm no good at it, but I love doing it. Go figure. I had to find something I wasn't good at to love. And so somebody comes to me and says, you know, I like to play first base. That's where you put old men. I don't have to move a whole lot. Now listen, if you play first base, don't get offended. My goodness, calm down. And somebody come to me and said, you know what? We're going to put you on second. And I go stomping off, I tell you right now, I'm the first baseman, and I don't appreciate it. First base belongs to me. No, it doesn't. What kind of teammate are you? Are you listening? See, Andrew had proper perspective and understanding who he was. Andrew didn't have to call the shots. Andrew didn't have to be out front. Don't you be that way. You want to be contented in life? Be okay with where God puts you. Hey, listen to me this morning. I'm telling us some things that will help us in life. God has shown us a man right here that can really help us if we'll just take some advice from him. He was seeking something, and he was so glad that he found it. Remember when you first got saved? Remember how excited you were? Remember? Look down in verse number 41, if you would, and we're going to come back to this. He first finds his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah. We found him. We found him. Oh, Peter, listen. Oh, Andrew was excited. Thank God we found the Messiah. Amen. You think Andrew cared if Peter said, oh, by the way, a few years from now, there's going to be some preaching going on. There's going to be 3,000 people get saved, but you're not going to be doing it. I am. You think Andrew would have said, wait a minute here. Hold on. Andrew was just excited to be a part of it. See, we've lost that, brethren. We've lost that. We've gotten into where we think we have to be a church of big shots. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying if you're not careful, it could become you. It could become me. I've got to call the shots. I've got to be the one out front. I've got to have the say-so. I've got to do this. It's my ministry. It's this. It's that. No, it's God's. And when we serve God together, much can be done for the glory of God. Amen. I think that's why God's blessed Fellowship Baptist Church. I mentioned a saying about chiefs and Indians. I'll mention another one that my grandmother used to say, okay? It's amazing. I think Harry Truman was actually the first person who said this. It's amazing what can get accomplished when everybody's not concerned about who's going to get the credit. We just want to serve God, brethren. Amen. Andrew was that way, wasn't he? How are you known? I'm going to move away from this and get to my final point, but how are you known? Andrew was known as Simon Peter's brother. You think he ever got tired of hearing that? Like, come on, man. That's kind of like I was at a meeting one time, and I'm not saying this should be done, all right? But I was at a meeting one time, and it was roll call, was meeting, and roll call, and the guy said, da-da-da-da-da-da, and then he came and he said, let me think of what his name was now. I think it was Johnny or Tim, I can't remember. Johnny, and he said, here, and the owner of the company just looked at him just as seriously, and he said, you know what? He said, we're going to call you John. I said, whoa, what was his name, honey? Goodness, what was that guy's name? I'm going to use Johnny. He said, Johnny, and he said, here, and he said, we're going to call you John. It's about time you grow into John. Hey, man. What? How are you known? How are you known? Does that offend you when people refer to you as something and you think, you know what, I want to be known for who I am, not for who I run with. There comes a day when my children have to be known as someone other than the pastor's kids. Say amen with me now. Amen. You got to take your own identity on. Is that right? There just comes a day that you're going to have to be known as someone other than Simon Peter's brother. But I can't see where that this really bothered Philip. Or Andrew, I'm sorry. I can't see where it really bothered him. Just be good with who God made you and where God put you. It's okay. It's okay. You know when you'll be good with that? When you'll just be glad that you're a part of the work. I'm just glad I can be a part of it. I'm just glad I'm a part of it. You think that when I ask Pastor David or Pastor BJ or Pastor Brandon or some of these men to preach, that I just say, oh, I need to be up there preaching. No, I'm glad God's called them to preach, and I'm glad God's using them. Amen. I sure hope we don't have, and I don't think we do now, but I sure hope we don't have folks at the church here who sing now. And every time somebody else is singing, they're saying, I need to be the one up there doing that. I can do better than that. See, that's a bad attitude. And I'm not saying there's anyone there. I'm just saying don't be that way. Don't be that way. You'll hurt yourself. You'll hurt the church. So, first of all, there's Andrew's possession. Then, secondly, there's his position. Be okay with where God puts you. Don't think it's yours. This church is not. I've had people say all the time, yo, so-and-so goes down to your church, don't he? I don't have a church. I don't know what you're talking about. I tell people that. I don't have a church. I don't know what you're talking about. This church, Jesus bought with his blood. The church is the body of Christ. I'm part of the body. It's not mine. This is Jesus' church. And I think I know what they mean. They mean the flock. I mean, I think I know what they mean. But we have to be careful or we'll think that the church belongs to a man. The church doesn't belong to a man, brethren. Nor does the music department. Amen. Nor does the children's ministries. That's right. Amen. Belongs to God. Let's close with this. Did you write down possession? He found it. Position. Simon Peter's brother. That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to be out front and calling the shots. Just kind of get rooted where God planted you. And do what God's called you to do. You'll be glad for it. Now let's look at this. And this is where we'll close. I want you to write this word down. Passion. Because Philip had the right attitude toward people in ministry. And I'm going to be quick on this because our time's up. Every time I see Philip and John. Or Andrew, I'm sorry. He's calling people to Jesus. Look here, John 1. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith, we have found a Messiah. And look at verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. See, I believe when people get saved, it's one of the first things they do. They start thinking that other people need Jesus, especially in their family, right? I didn't even know the scriptures in the Bible when I got saved, but can I tell you, it's one of the first things I did is I went and found family members and started telling them about Jesus. I bet many of you did too, didn't you? That doesn't mean you're not saved if you didn't, but I'm just saying it's just kind of a natural response. He went and he found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. By the way, if we're going to get people saved, this is the way you do it. You got to find them. Look what verse 41 says. He first findeth, and then you got to bring them. Look at verse 42. And he brought him. He found him and he brought him. Amen. That's getting people saved. And then if you'll turn to John chapter 6, and I'll just mention, like I said, two more things and then in this one point about passion. What was his passion? His possession was he knew Jesus. His position was he was kind of the second man. He was Simon Peter's brother. I mean, but it wasn't a big deal to him. Don't let it be a big deal to you. If someone else gets more recognition, if someone else gets more accolade, if someone else gets, you know, more attaboys or pats on the back, don't let it get to you. Just be glad you're part of the thing, right? I'm just glad I'm part of this. I get to do this. I get to worship God. I get to serve God. I'm just glad I'm part of it. John chapter 6, here's the story that I mentioned earlier. We got these folks in John chapter 6 in verses 1 through 5. There's a great multitude there. And Jesus in verse 5 lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now I want you to notice this next verse. And this he said to prove him, for himself, he himself knew what he would do. He said, I already know what I'm going to do. But Philip, I just want to know, how are we going to feed these people? And Philip answered and said, well, maybe anywhere between a half a year's or a year's salary, we might be able to feed them. It's going to take a lot of money to feed this crowd, right? Some of you, with all the, as big as your family is, you feel the way Philip did here. Amen, when you go out to eat. That's right. And then notice what happens here. One of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew. Who do you think Andrew's identified as? Simon Peter's brother. He don't have a problem with it. He don't. You know what he did? He'd already been out working the crowd. While Philip was sitting there doing the math, Andrew was out saying, we just need a little bit to get started with here. We've got Jesus in the midst. You listening to me? While you're trying to figure life out on paper, there's other people that's getting people to Jesus that's getting things done. Don't leave God out of the equation. Philip made a huge mistake here. He had it right. I don't believe the Bible nowhere says that Philip didn't have it right. I think his answer in verse number 7 was probably so. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And then the Bible says one of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now we've got some resources here. I know it can be done, I just don't know how it's going to be done. And Jesus said, well, just sit people in companies, Andrew, and I'll show you how. Right? I'll show you how. This tells me something about Andrew. Number one, he knows a little as much when God is in it. And number two, you never discount what a little child can do. I think the Bible intentionally said there's a lad. Well, I tell you, we come to church sometimes, we look around, we see these little children, and we think, oh, well, you know, that's... they're the church of tomorrow. They're this and they're that. Don't you ever underestimate what one of these little children can do now. You never know what one of these little children can do. Andrew saw potential in people. And I'll close with this. John chapter number 12. Would you turn there? I'm talking about his passion. Every time Philip is seen with people, he's bringing them to Jesus. John chapter number 12. Again, I won't go into detail because of time, but I do want you to see this in John chapter 12. Look at verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Now you would think Philip would say, well, come on, he's right over here. But notice what Philip does. In verse number 22, Philip cometh and telleth who? Andrew. You know why? Because he knew Andrew's good at getting people to Jesus. That's why. Andrew was wanting to see Jesus one day. He said, I remember when Andrew was wanting to see Jesus, and he went and got Peter. Andrew's been where these men were. Now, I'm not saying Philip wasn't, but he said, there's something about this Andrew. This guy Andrew knows how to get people to Jesus. He knows how to get people in the right place for the right message. And so Philip didn't say, oh yeah, right over here to Jesus. I know him. I follow him. Come on, he's over here. That's not what Philip did. Philip, in verse number 22, he cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus together. He said, I want to get Andrew involved. You know, there's just something about being around people who know how to get people to Jesus. There is. I want you to stand to your feet here. Now, I don't want to get out of bounds here. There are some historians that say that in this group of Greeks was Luke. I don't believe that. Well, I didn't say it was so. I just said there's some historians that say Luke was in this crowd. Luke. I just think it's really something that Andrew was willing to take back seat, so to speak, second fiddle, and he was just okay saying, go ahead. Peter, run with it. Praise God. I'm so happy for you. Are you happy when other people are prospering? Are you excited when God's blessing other people in ministry? I pray that you are. I am. Amen. I hope that you are. I hope that you are. Are you okay with being an Andrew? Let's bow our heads together.